Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3, The Fan. Cowboys at 1-2. Is there any saving this season? The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you at 877-881-1053. Seems like a lot of issues to get corralled here if you want to come back and have any sort of success. I guess after the Packers, you're going to get the Jets and Panthers, so maybe they can get some momentum built. By then, General at your service. What do you think? There's brought us the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40 with his film takeaways. Of course, we're going to do a lot of those right here. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go full five today. Rangers have the day off. We'll give you 5 hours of sports. Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with Brad Sham and Kevontae Turpin. Should be interesting. Wolchuk and Schiafalo are here. And Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. A little bit of breaking news. Nick Bosa did suffer a season-ending torn ACL during their win over the Cardinals. Clean tear. Bosa will need season-ending surgery. So that's a tough one for them. Cowboys dealing with their own injury, of course, there with CeeDee Lamb. Conflicting reports, you know. When you can walk off and you try to come back in and you can jog but just not cut, I feel like that's a couple of weaker. But the 4 to 6 weeks things is out there on social right now. Brian, yeah, what are you hearing?
The several weeks is what I heard. I never got a number, a specific number, but I did get the high ankle sprain like people were talking about. But I never got a pin down on the number.
Well, Archer just put out a few minutes ago 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
Which would mean if it's three, you get him back for Washington. If it's four, hopefully the Broncos game.
It really doesn't matter because in back-to-back weeks, you had Russell Wilson and Caleb Williams put up their best games of the season probably against you is what we're looking at. Then the Giants, they go play Kansas City, who's got a good but not great defense. They're a one-touchdown team again, sitting there with 9 points, single-digit points. I just don't know how this defense got so bad. Like all of these picks you've invested in, you finally fixed defensive tackle. We're used to linebacker being just mid or maybe even below average. But I guess Trayvon Diggs not being able to come back from the microfracture surgery and be anything close to what he was at his peak. I guess the Deron Bland injury there. The pass rush not really having anything. It's got to be one of the worst group of pass rushers in the NFL, at least if you're grading on a curve.
Misevaluated that. But before they made the trade, you probably felt like that you could kind of put things together. What was Stephen Jones's line?
Simulated pressure.
Well,
manufactured pressure.
Bingo. That was it. And that's Matt Eberflus talking to Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, and yeah, he's saying Flus can manufacture pressure. That has been the one thing that has been ringingly wrong about this team. They cannot manufacture pressure with rushing four the way they are. They went into this trade feeling like that they could do that with the guys they had. That's where the misevaluation has been. You know, it's you talk about stopping the run. Well, what stops the run is you scoring a massive amount of points on somebody. Dallas got it happen to him yesterday. We're all super happy about the run game right now, right?
Yeah.
Cowboy run game.
Both sides.
Whoa, 7.8 yards a carry. You got beat by what? 17 points? Yeah. So that's kind of where you're at right now. The run game stuff, run defense and all that stuff doesn't matter. When you're struggling to be able to get people off the field, and the one thing that how Dallas is going to win these games is they're going to have to outscore people, and they're going to have to hope what happens in the Giants game, they get a stop or they get two stops and they get maybe a turnover. That's really how the
turnovers are.
That's how the Bears beat you yesterday. They got stops and they got turnovers. And that ultimately was, and you know, they made you punt twice in the game. So that's how you're going to lose football games if Dallas's offense is not good enough, because their defense clearly is, and we knew going in this game it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, they're tied for the worst in terms of turnover differential entering tonight's game with the Dolphins, so that's not good. But to me, I mean, how did this defense get so bad? They have 25 picks on defense since 2021, not including this past draft. 15 of those picks are no longer on the team.
Mm.
Marshawn Nealand and Maris Leofau, I don't know. We'll see about them. Mazi, Sam Williams, Damone Clark, not good. Bland, Overshown, hurt. Diggs, supposed to be one of your better players. He's been hurt. He's not playing well.
No training camp.
Osa Digizua, probably your most consistent. That's the one. And even he's not making a noticeable impact. Akeem Bisoute is not on the team, and you just drafted him this past year. So, Shamar James, Jay Toia, inactive yesterday. Those are guys that you just took. Ravel, an easy, we'll see. And then you traded Micah Parsons. But for a team that's draft and develop, they haven't drafted well enough on defense. And now you're starting to see a talent-deficient team on that side of the ball.
Fair.
Yeah, one of the worst defenses we've ever seen. Like, I think this might be worse than the 2020 group.
Oh, they've had that was a historically bad defense. And you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, we're heading that way.
Yeah.
And I think offensively, we can be optimistic about what it'll look like when CeeDee Lamb is back. But there's no guarantee. You know, your offense isn't so good that you can rubber stamp it. Hey, it's a bad defense. You're going to go light them up. I think the tackles struggle so much to contain pressure that if you're up against a team that can pressure you, that does have good ends, I think that's going to negate your good offense. So I feel like every week I've downgraded how many wins I think they're going to get, and now I'm in like the 5 to 7 range. I think 7's best case scenario. Your defense is going to be so bad, you're going to go up against bad offenses all year long. And like Bryce Young, well, that's 375 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's how bad this is. Like, these quarterbacks will never see a group of corners as bad as what the Cowboys are going to be trotting out there. And I guess that'll change a little bit with Deron Bland, but still, two of your other guys are going to be blinking easy lights, and the safeties don't offer much help.
Well, see, and we thought the same thing going into the game about the Bears, and you didn't take advantage of that.
Nope.
So that's the trade-off right there. Dallas has to be almost perfect on offense in order for them to have any chance right now to win these games. You know, and that's unfortunate. We're putting a lot on Dak. You know, people are saying, well, damn, that's his job. He's the quarterback. You should. Well, you know, the guy that you got playing the best right now is Williams at running back. We'll see what happens with these receivers with Lamb being out the next 3 weeks or so. But they're the only chances they're really going to have is to figure some things out with the running game. Maybe they can kind of keep people at arm's length with their running game a little bit and give their defense a break. But that's kind of where they're. But it's going to be now about scoring somehow every possession.
Yeah, you know,
because you're in a mode right now where your defense can just not hold up. And I don't know if it's communication, it's scheme, coaching, players, but man, there's some things on that film yesterday I was watching, and there it looked like to me down there when DJ Moore was wide open. Zach, help me here. You watched, I know. The thing is that I couldn't tell if they were playing half the field was man and half the field was zone.
You have a ton of confusion.
I couldn't even diagram what they were trying to do.
Yeah. And then guys are biting on the run fakes. They're sliding to where now you're creating a wide open wide receiver. People are biting on the wrong routes underneath, thinking maybe they've got help on the backside. They don't. It's tough. I mean, you've got one half of the field looks like maybe they're playing cover three. The other's trying to play cover one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a ton of I mean, there's times where like.
And that could be intentional.
Maybe.
That's a tactic that DCs are using.
Yeah. Well,
and maybe that's what they're talking about where the confusion is. Because like last week when we're hearing out of the locker room where players are like, yeah, this is more confusing than it was last year with Zim. And we're looking at each other like, well, how the hell hard is cover two? Maybe that is. Maybe that's what it is. And when Shoddy's talking about simplifying things, maybe that is what they need to do. Because right now it ain't working.
No, and there's just a general lack of awareness when they're in zone, the way that players are moving behind them. They're not checking their shoulders to figure out where the targets are. I mean, it looks bad. And then, you know, on top of that, at best you have, you know, guys that I guess can cover a little bit in man, but still they're very vulnerable there as well. So, you know, where does this go from here at 877-881-1053? Can you believe how bad this group of Cowboys is there's just nobody on the edge, no linebacker, no corner that you feel good about. And, you know, there's no reason to believe this changes. So it's only week four, Brian. Mm-hmm. Have people been reaching out to you about covering this draft already and what could be possible?
Yeah, that's when I know that people have asked. I've been tagged in a lot. When does draft show start and all that? But, yeah, you know, it's it's unfortunate that you know, every game it looks like it's a little closer to maybe having to get something started like that, and we're only 3 weeks in. But yeah, it just I don't see
it should be a good spot to take an edge or a tackle or a corner.
Yeah, and the thing you might want to worry about if you're a Cowboy fan is, would Jerry Jones make a move with one of these picks on a team that might not be good enough to go make a move for one of these picks?
I think if you could get a corner and an edge, you might be talking. Get a corner, an edge, and a great linebacker, and I think that would fix this defense. So it's just a matter of how aggressive you want to be, but you would have to do all three of those.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are you interested in moving one of those? Okay.
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah. You know, if you're moving your own pick, if you're moving your considering your own pick here, the way it looks right now, you look like you're going to pick in the top five.
Yeah.
I would be really careful with that. I would be really, really careful if, in fact, that you move.
Yeah, we're going to need a great player.
And you move your own pick, and then all of a sudden, you're going to need a great player out of this. If you move Green Bay's pick, that might be a little bit different story. That's a different area code you're talking about.
And the Joneses are out here selling. They're saying, we'll move our picks. Jerry's saying, yeah, we're still a playoff team. Steven today on KNC saying it's not a talent thing, it's execution. I think that is the biggest batch of BS that they've spun all year.
Totally.
And there's been a lot of BS spinning going on. So I think what I want them to be processing is, this is a great rebuild year. You look at the schedule. It's not meant to be. You're going to be bad some years in the NFL. If we embrace that, don't rush guys back from injury, develop guys, then have a top five pick, you could get an outstanding edge. You could replace Micah Parsons, or you could replace Terrence Steele. There's a lot of things you could do.
But now Zach's got me nervous about how they've been drafting defensively. You know,
It hasn't been good.
And then, you know, that's the thing. It looks like to me that the Booker and the Tyler Smiths, we'll see with Guyton. I felt like personally in the game, watching the tape, I kind of felt like Steele was worse than what Guyton was.
Was bad.
He was not good
at all. And that's where I even tweeted out, too, that I felt like that maybe this might be a week that you think about Nate Thomas. You know, Nate, to me, Steele and Micah Parsons just does not seem very good right now. That doesn't seem like a really good matchup for me right now. But I might consider somebody with a little bit more power over there, like a Nate Thomas, somebody like that, a little bit bigger guy. It just, you know, you can't just keep getting compressed like Steele has been. He can't set his feet. He's not strong enough. It's just now the run blocking stuff. Actually, there's been some good things of him doing that. But the pass protection stuff is really making me kind of nervous.
Good things that happened in the game. 121 yards on 20 carries. It was Javonte Williams, 10 carries for 76 yards. I do feel like, you know, 2-1, way too many passes. We know just teams in general, the more they pass, it doesn't bode well for their success. But I would love to see them optimize a game plan around running the ball. I think with CeeDee and Pickens and them telling themselves that Dak's an MVP candidate, I think they get a little bit carried away with trying to design too much of a pass-first offense.
They really have no choice, though, to be honest with you. I mean, they got behind. I mean, they got back in the game with some balance, but then all of a sudden that offense, and maybe it is running when you're tied. Maybe it is running the ball more, trying to do more of that. I know one thing. If I got down to the goal line on that fourth down, that interception, I'm running the ball twice.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to get
the fade.
I don't know why you get cute down there, but yeah, I agree with you, Dawson. I just – I just wonder if you get behind, it forces you to play. It takes you out of the run game stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're behind and you're like, you just, okay, great. We're just going to keep grinding out. And the next thing you know, it's like what the Bears did to you with that drive, and you take 8 minutes off the clock, and now you're still behind, you know, in the game. But I like what you're trying to say. I think running the ball is a good thing.
If you're going to be down 3 scores in the fourth quarter, I get passing at that point.
Sure.
But going forward without CeeDee Lamb, there's got to be a concerted effort. Like, what else can we do to try to ramp up this run game and get more ball control going on, keep this defense off the
problem
field?
Is,
keep them off.
Yeah, the problem is you're going to probably have to go on drives where you have to be perfect. And you know,
there's no margin for error for the offense. And the
one thing that sets you back, they had to punt one time because they had a holding penalty.
And then the sack to start the second half. They were moving the ball. They get around midfield.
Yeah.
You have that big sack, and that ruined the entire drive. And from that point on, the game was over.
To his point, running the ball makes you not have to.
Like, I thought they actually had pretty decent balance when it was 14-14, and then it was just wheels off.
Jake Ferguson, our guy, had another 13 catches. Dude has, 27 catches now in 3 games? Would like a little bit more big play factor from it, but
a lot more.
The yak's just not. He can't make a man miss. I put that in the notes to ask him on Thursday. Hopefully he doesn't get ticked off.
It seems like the offense is built around, let's try and get Ferguson the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah, there were a couple times we'll talk about, they threw the ball into a blitz. You know, it's one of those things, you get a slot blitz and they're throwing it basically hot is what they're doing. Dak's just trying to kind of get rid of it. But, man, I swear, when people go back and watch the tape, you're going to see how many spots or opportunities where they had exactly what happened with Turpin that they didn't do that. They
Turpin down the sideline or Turpin on that over route?
What you have is the we call the hole shot. It's between the safety on that cover two safety and the corner. And you throw it right, you just run right into that hole and you throw it in there. And then it's exactly how it worked. It worked perfectly. And they had some opportunities to get more of those. They had an exchange route too with Tolbert, that I mean they switched routes with him and Pickens, and it went up to sidelines and Dak checked it down. And you know, that's you know, you gotta try and make that throw down the field if you can. And but he might not trust the line completely. He might not trust Steele completely or Guyton, you know, to make those throws. But it's a little unfortunate they left some of those plays out on the field.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on a Cowboys Monday on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. We're coming back with the G-Bag of the Day champ and Wolchuk's top 10 here at 220. Buddy, where are you taking it?
Yeah, it's National Family Day. In honor of National Family Day, what are the top 10 TV families of all time?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That next in the nation.
Welcome back. Latest on CeeDee Lamb, out at least 2 games, most likely 3 to 4 there with the ankle sprain. This segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Do you have a 5-time champ, Lucius? Vacated title?
Yeah, no. Vacated title, big dog. Vacated. This is day number 2 for this one right here.
Okay.
The Chili's worker.
Oh.
Yeah. In this economy, you know, you need multiple streams of income right here. Mm-hmm. This man was just trying to do his job. He got another job, a second job, but Chili's would not let him go to the orientation, so he went to his car and crashed out.
I feel like I just went through a breakup, bro. I got the second job, which is better than this bitch ass job right here. Dude, So I try to get them to work with me because I wanted to keep this job too, all right? But my training for my other job is going into the time for this job, which I've been here for months. Yeah. I've been coming in on days that I don't even need to come in. Like, they busted my f***ing ass, and they don't even want to give me just a few weeks or a week off to do my f***ing training, bro. Like, f*** you then, Chili's. Yeah. I really liked working here too, bro. It was f***ing nice, but no, they had, no, we can't work with you. You know what? I don't know. I lost one of my jobs. I did have two, but now we have one. Because that bitch, like, I'm still out here. Like, I just got off of work. Like, I'm outside of Chili's right now. Like, God damn it, dude.
Oh, no. Fuck
you, Chili's. Bitch!
Not happy with his boss, apparently.
No.
That's our one-time champ. Looking for two tonight, 5:30. Teddy Atlas lost in a vote off at G-Bag Nation, now I remember. So we'll make Teddy an honorary five-time champion, still eligible for the G-Bag of the Year coming up in January. Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 220. Here he is, Zach with an H.
Let's do it. Happy National Family Day. We've got the top 10 greatest TV families of all time. 877-881-1053. Go ahead, text in your favorite. We did get breaking news that Auburn's men's basketball coach, the former very sweaty Bruce Pearl.
Speaking of family.
Expected to retire, yes, and they're keeping it in the family. His son, Steven, expected to be the head coach for the upcoming season there at Auburn.
Didn't see that one coming.
I don't know, Steven's track record. Might be one and done, maybe.
I don't know.
But shout out to Pops for just teeing this up for him. I mean, I don't know. When Belichick gets fired midseason at UNC, do they end up just saying, Steve, you can take this over now? Or maybe it'll be Jordan Hudson.
It's just crazy. Well, yeah, she's all over the sidelines.
I hope Lombardi gets me all my gear before they get fired.
Man.
Have you seen the AI videos where they're on the sidelines together and all of a sudden they just start making out with each other?
No, but that's...
Belichick and Hudson... It's pretty ridiculous.
Not been good.
But how about Bruce Pearl, man? Like, just a few weeks before things really get cranking there in college basketball, he just punts.
He kind of
gives it to his son. He strong-armed it.
Well, he didn't give them much of a chance to get a new coach, did they?
No.
So, he played it perfect.
Yeah. He did. Go ahead. Take over.
What do you think?
Jeff?
Is it health concerns here for Bruce? We've had that. It's got to be, right?
I think that's got to be what it is. Because didn't he take a leave for a period last year?
Yeah.
I think he might. I don't know if it was heart. Stuff, but yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be health related.
I think he's figuring out that he could be on TV and make
a lot more
money and not be stressed out all the time.
Does a good job on TV.
Yeah.
So maybe that's probably like the Urban Meyer route.
I imagine this was all cardiologists recommended.
Like, dude, you can't, the amount that you're sweating during a game, we got to stop.
Like, yeah, SEC basketball and deep dish pizza not working together pretty well.
It's not working for him.
No.
That Alabama diet, man, it can get the best of you.
Well, speaking of the SEC, did you see your three games that the SEC is going to get, the annual three opponents for the next four seasons?
Who did LSU get?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
As they go to the nine-game schedule. LSU, you've got Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. Those are going to be your three for the next 4 years.
Oh, wow, we don't have to play Alabama every once in a while?
You might still get that in the rotation, but these are like the guaranteed three teams
that
you're going to have on the schedule.
A&M, Ole Miss.
Arkansas.
That's good. That's a good.
Not bad.
That's fair.
Oklahoma for the fighting Carter Freemans. They got Mizzou.
Texas.
Ole Miss and Texas.
Yeah.
Texas has Arkansas, OU, and A&M, which means A&M has LSU, Mizzou, Texas.
That's the old Southwest Conference right there for Texas. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I can't really say anybody got it really easy, especially with Vanderbilt now being pretty damn good.
Give me, who did South Carolina have?
South Carolina's got Georgia, Florida, Kentucky.
Ooh.
So that, I mean, they might, yeah.
Okay, give me Florida.
Florida's got Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Bama's got Auburn, Tennessee, Mississippi State.
Not to have LSU, Alabama every year. Not to have Florida.
No, thank God.
Florida, Tennessee every year.
Well, and it's like, not to say that they won't have that, but, I mean, these are just the guaranteed. With the added ninth game, they'll for sure have these three teams on the schedule. But, yeah, I mean, maybe they'll change it up after 4 years, and we'll get some new fresh rotations.
Did you tell me Texas by any chance?
Yeah, Texas was Arkansas, OU, and A&M.
Oh, that's right. Southwest Conference. That's right. You told me that.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
All right, let's get into the top 10. Top 10 greatest TV families in the history of television in honor of National Family Day. Shout out to all of our families. We love you, and thank you for being awesome, or maybe not, depending on Everyone's got issues in the family.
Either way, we thank you.
I've been there. But either way, we love you, and happy National Day. All right, my resident television expert, Lucius, greatest TV families.
Man, the Huxtables and the Addams Family.
Oh, I had the Addams Family Addams written family. Down.
I mean, I'm glad they found each other.
Yeah.
Because they're both weirdos.
Yeah.
And they both made it.
Yeah. Have you gotten into a Wednesday on Netflix?
No, but it is on downstairs. My old lady watches it. I haven't watched it yet.
Pretty good.
Is she just harassing everybody in this thing?
Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's fantastic. The main actress, Jenna Ortega, that plays her. She's like perfect for the role.
Really?
Yeah, she's great. I didn't really love that they split the season up this year, but this is just a perfect role for Tim Burton. He's able to do his like weird, wacky, dark.
Okay.
It's great. Honorable mentions on here. We've got the Bluths from Arrested Development.
Oh, it's my favorite. Oh, my God.
So good.
Oh, I blew myself.
Oh, I blew it. The Bankses from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air made the honorable mention. Yeah. The Arnolds from The Wonder Years. Were you a big Wonder Years person, Brian?
Not at all.
Really? Was that after your
time? I wonder why anybody watched it.
That wasn't a real family, dude. That was dysfunctional as all get out. Dad,
sounds like a real family to me.
Dad was just like your classic 1950s grumpy, tired. Yeah. It didn't seem like a very peaceful or harmonious situation.
Ugh.
Old Fred Savage is just trying to get out of the house. I forget his name in the show, but
yeah.
I mean, he's just trying to hang out of the house and hang out with Winnie. What that came down to.
We got the Foremans.
Escaping the family.
Escaping the family. That's what they should have called it instead of the Wonder Years. The Foremans, that 70s show honorable mention on here.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
A Wisconsin family? The 70s show.
Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay.
Gotcha.
I mean, Dad was evolving. At least he was engaged, but still mostly offending anybody in his path.
Very much so.
Red Foreman. Occasionally cool.
Kitty and Red.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, that was, it's amazing that Eric grew up to be who he was, which was somewhat of a P word.
Oh, Eric Foreman.
Yeah.
He's definitely didn't take after his pops.
No, he didn't take after Red. The Whites from Breaking Bad. And that's talking about dysfunction. I mean, Skyler White might be one of the most hated TV characters of all time.
Truly.
Yeah, nobody liked her.
And her sister, too.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, Marie?
Yeah. She was brutal.
All her purple? God, you throw that away. The Tanners from Full House, honorable mention on here.
There you go.
That's a good family.
The Simpsons, honorable mention.
Simpsons, honorable mention, huh? Yeah. Wow, they've only been around for 40-some-odd years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, lifetime achievement gets them in the top 10.
I thought they'd have made the top 5 on here, but they didn't, according to a TV guide. The Stones from the Donna Reed Show. Can't sound very familiar.
Yeah, it's way back in the day. That's a black and white show.
What about the Ricardos? I Love Lucy.
That's another black and white show.
Honorable mention as well on this list. And then the Lopezes from George Lopez. The Camdens from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, I thought you said the Camdens from the Honeymooners.
Oh, no, the Honeymooners is listed on here. Oh,
talk about drama. Jessica Biel.
They didn't have a family, though. They had no kids.
I think they're trying to reboot.
And he threatened physical violence on her every night right before the show. And
Alice.
Nobody claps. This is great.
Alice, I'm going to send you to the moon.
To the moon. The studio audience loves it. Yeah.
Yay. Yeah,
punch Alice in the face. Yeah.
Better up.
The Heffernans, the King of Queens.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Do they have kids?
No, no kids. But they did have Arthur Spooner.
They basically
had the dad-in-law.
You know, I mean, he was wearing a diaper.
That's a family.
He looked like he had a diaper on.
No question.
The Jeffersons and the Keatons from Family Ties making honorable mention as well.
Man, a lot of families.
A lot. I mean, the TV family, like the sitcom.
Yeah.
How many do we have on TV? Like constantly. Every station's got their own big sitcom that they've got to be running. A lot of them are running very successful.
What was that family called?
Yeah, the Connors. They're in the top 10 here.
Connors.
Even after Roseanne got canceled, they still continued with the Connors. That's stability. That's a family right there.
That's a strong family.
Kick out the mom. We're still going to keep rocking.
What about
the Bradys?
Yeah, the Brady's going to be high on here.
Everybody loves.
There's some weird stuff about the Bradys that I was reading that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, that guy, the Reed, the actor.
Well, was the dad?
The dad.
Sort of like an incestual blend?
He was a little bit of everything.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You had like the son hitting on the mom. Maybe the dad wasn't exactly all the way straight.
Yeah.
There's some weird things going on.
The guy's family of
crazy categories.
Yeah. Fluid. Number 10, we got the Waltons.
Good night, John Boy.
Coming in number 10. 9, the Addams Family, Lucius. The Addamses. That's a great family. I mean, Gomez, Morticia, Thing. Thing might be my favorite character, just the hand.
It was Cousin Uncle Fester. It. Cousin It was the hairy guy, right?
Yeah, Cousin It. Yeah. The Cleavers, Leave It to Beaver.
Ward, June.
Coming at number 8.
Yeah.
The Ewings from Dallas.
Oh, that's a good one.
At 7.
That's a good one.
The Connors are at 6. Okay. With Roseanne. Roseanne and Dan. They weren't always the greatest parental role models. Mm-hmm. And that's why we loved them.
And Clooney as, what was that, the sister's boss? What was the name, Booker?
Really?
Yeah, I think this was George Clooney's breakout was Roseanne. Like back in the late 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's the only show on the list that I actually watch regularly back in the day. And yes, George Clooney was a hit.
Yeah, I remember he did ER, I think. Dawson, my mom loved ER.
That show, Bosom Buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Bosom Buddies.
That's where Tom Hanks.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was great
in Bosom
Buddies.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Bosom Buddies.
But they used to call me in Woolchuck and UNT.
Bosom Buddies. Here they come down the hall again. The Barones from Everybody
Loves
Raymond.
There we go. There it is.
Absolutely.
That's too high for them.
No, that's a bad take.
No, the mom and dad were also just stealing the show. Phenomenal. So funny.
How close did that mom and dad live? Like next door?
Yeah, right across the street, man. Gosh.
And his brother also. And that guy had a set of pipes on him.
Yeah.
Great voice.
Still does.
Is he still with us?
Absolutely.
The Bunkers, All in the Family, coming in at number 4.
Man, that's a controversial show.
Is it?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. 70s, very, very, like, they said a lot of things on that show.
Best family therapy is laughter.
Yeah.
And we got a bunker full from Norman Lear's groundbreaking social satire.
Yeah. Oof.
The Sopranos coming in at number 3.
Come on now.
Talk about dysfunctional.
Crazy.
Wow. Number 2, we've got The Huxtables, The Cosby Show. Should we feel weird?
Yes.
About that?
Sounds like we should feel weird about a handful of these families.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at it, I don't know what was going on. I mean, I guess maybe we shouldn't be surprised.
The craziness...
They're actors.
Has always been.
Yeah, they're actors.
They're actors.
They're actors.
Remember that first.
But the actual show, The Cosby Show, is an outstanding show. And I loved it as a kid.
Oh, it was goated. It was hilarious. Awesome. They brought you the wholesome vibes constantly. There was role model stuff in there. Like it defined like
it was opposite
the family
of real life.
Sitcom in my childhood.
I would like to show love to the Matthews, Boy Meets World. They were one of my favorites growing up. I did love the Matthews, even though they were based in Philadelphia. But number 1 on this list, greatest TV family of all time on National Family Day, is the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Here's a story. Yeah, and weird stuff.
It's probably the sitcom I watched the most growing up, I think, because it was always on. The Brady Bunch was just replays before cartoons, after cartoons, at night. It was everywhere after school.
Yeah. It was, and Malcolm, I think Malcolm in the Middle is getting a reboot. That was an honorable mention. They got Texan as well, Malcolm's family, and I think we're going to get more of that on Disney Plus coming out. But, there are. The list is crazy when it comes to just how many families we've got on television. So, if yours got left out, I apologize. The Cartwrights getting texted in. Archie Bunker getting texted in.
Well, Archie Bunker was part of All in the Family.
The Griffins, the Sanfords. The
crazy.
Bundys. Yeah, the Bundys. That's an upset that the Bundys, Married with Children, wasn't on here.
Should be, I think. Absolutely hilarious. But, I mean, the deal with that, what was the other one you said? Malcolm in the Middle? That was Bryan Cranston's character of record. So when Breaking Bad started, it was seen like through the filter of how is this guy going to be anything but the nerdy, goofy dad? And eventually he pulled it off.
Crushed
it. I think it did provide an element of intrigue and mystique to that show because it was just 180 degrees from the character that he'd been up to that point.
I want to vote for the Ozark family.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember what their last names were. I just
another bad mom with adultery all over the place.
Yeah, but they stuck together, man.
They did.
At the very end, they stuck together when somehow, they had some
way. Did the son commit murder?
Might have.
I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
Something I think I bailed like mid-season 3 or something like that.
We heard the blast.
It's a great show. All right, we got to run. Best of the weekend coming up next. Chief, what you got?
Yeah, let's hand out awards for statement win, trick play, and rookie move next in the nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now for Chiefs Best of the Weekend. Here he is, Eric.
All right, we will hand out some awards for the sports weekend. But first, where do you guys think the 65-yard flea flicker touchdown for the Bears yesterday ranked in SportsCenter's top 10 plays?
Number 7.
3.
Put it at 5.
Sitting there at 4.
Ooh.
Number 3 was Emeka Egbuka in the one-hander. That dude's playing his tail off.
He's a savage.
Oh, my gosh.
Save his pick in the draft.
The Pickens one-hander was pretty nasty, too.
It was. Pickens one-hander was nice. Yeah.
Didn't even have to involve the second hand at all.
I'd be able to remember it more if it didn't doink off his hands for an interception later on in the program.
You know, it's funny that about that play.
He had two that almost.
He ran that play like he didn't expect he was getting the ball. He came off the line.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the broadcast. Because
he ran the exact same route on the opposite side of the field, and Dak, and he's open.
Yeah.
And Dak just doesn't look at him.
Yeah, he came off the ball, and then he kind of just, like, it's like,
oh, crap, it's coming to me.
Broke left, and then that's where the ball was, and he just stuck his hand up to knock it back to himself.
Mm. Yeah, it was a nice play, but they were noting that as well on the broadcast, Brady and Burkhart. Yeah. Number 2 was the Jonathan Taylor run, where he breaks a bunch of tackles. Oh. He's becoming, I mean, underrated is Jonathan Taylor right now? I mean, the entire Colts situation is just ridiculous.
Ever since the lady owner's been on the field, they've done a good job.
She's keeping folks in check.
We might
dude.
Need to talk to her about coaching up the Cowboys.
I would take it, yeah. I mean, some sort of accountability or...
maybe Charlotte needs to get down on that field.
Offensive Headset coaching on. Greatness.
We're close. Let's do it. Think we're close.
The combination of Shane Steichen and Daniel Jones did not have that on my bingo card for taking over the did. NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And they started the game with 3 scoring plays without having to punt. They end up with 40 points again.
Yeah, they've had to punt, I think, once in 3 games.
Really crazy.
It's wild.
The number 1 play, according to SportsCenter, top 10, we're not going to mention it. We're not going to mention it because it was the Eagles walk-off block. Up. Where he stumbles goes like 19 miles per hour.
It was a bad beat because I had the Rams covering.
Yeah, it was a multitude of bad beats over the weekend.
Did you hear the call? I didn't hear the call from Merrill.
Merrill,
was it crazy?
I heard they played it this morning with Sean and RJ.
Yeah,
he was beside himself.
Was he squeaking?
And they actually have like a little camera in there. I don't know if we're doing that with our guys. We should.
I'm sure Zero can set that up.
We don't need to do that because it'd be me in the back eating the sushi, you know, before Brad actually gets
for the
to
home
it.
Games.
Like it'd be
that's
me
a good
like,
point.
It'd be me like in the grazing area while they're calling the last 2 minutes of the game.
Okay, I'm going to give the statement win of the weekend award.
Texas Tech, Utah.
Texas Tech beating Utah.
Talk to Joey Hammond. McGuire.
Yes,
that freshman quarterback
comes in and was absolutely dialed.
Our quarterback got whacked right off the
he
starter,
took a few hits, man.
The starter?
Oh, Baron Morton? Yeah,
God,
he did.
What is he doing? Get
well, and
down.
He's hurt, and then, yeah, and then he takes off and runs again. And I'm like,
whacked
what are
again.
You doing? But Tech's defense, for real.
Oh.
They played phenomenally well.
Yes.
Mahomes would kill for this defense.
Hell yeah, he would.
Yeah.
I mean, name a Tech quarterback. They're like, where was this?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're legit, man. I mean, that was one of those games that we had circled going into the weekend because this was going to be the first real test for Texas Tech, Joey McGuire, and this revamped roster. And they did a heck of a job. Yeah. I mean, on the line of scrimmage, they got real players on both sides
David
of the
Bailey.
Ball right there.
Dude's a stud.
They got a linebacker who is freaking outstanding.
Number 10, Rodriguez.
Yes, Rodriguez.
He's awesome.
He is really, really good, and they do it all despite like shooting themselves in the foot all game long. Did they have like 10 false starts?
They did, and I mean, it's loud. I wasn't necessarily a surprise, but it was impressive their ability to overcome that.
No question, one of the I mean, certainly when it comes to the Big 12, toughest place to play in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And now Texas Tech, I think, has stamped themselves as best in the conference right now.
12th
sneaky
in the country.
Good game Friday night is that TCU travels to Tempe to play Arizona State.
Oh,
Friday night
good
game.
One.
Yeah,
we got a good slate this weekend.
Oh, Saturday's going to be
epic.
Unbelievable, really.
LSU loses its number third ranking this weekend, probably.
Oh, you think Ole Miss is going to knock them down?
I think Ole Miss
they struggled against Ole Miss?
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
They got them, I think a couple years ago, but man, yeah, they've struggled in the past.
Yeah, so Texas Tech with the statement win of the weekend. Congratulations to them. You mentioned Arizona State, and they are going to be among a few nominees for celebration of the weekend because after they go into McLean Stadium and beat Baylor, one of their players, who I cannot identify exactly, he went to midfield and started thrusting on the Baylor logo. So that's how he celebrated the victory right there.
On the ground? He was on the ground?
On the ground. Yeah, just full-fledged. It would have certainly been, if this was a touchdown celebration in the NFL, it was a flag because there was a handful more than just the three-pump minimum. So
that's a three-pump max.
He's max, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So he gets a nominee for that. And then if we have it, we can throw it on the fan cam, but the Mean Green, how about UNT? Getting a huge overtime win versus Army, and they have the Stone Cold celebration.
Yeah, baby.
To honor Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They broke out the beers?
I can't imagine it's actually beers. Because they have the cans like wrapped up to where you can't tell exactly what they are. So it's probably just like seltzer waters, I would assume. But they're treating them like beers, and they're doing the Stone Cold celebrations there with the wrestling championship belt as well. Really fantastic celebration. And then, and again, this is why I don't know who to give the award to, because then you also have Ole Miss, and hopefully you don't see this weekend, where they're throwing alley-oops to each other. They have a basketball goal and a basketball, and they're throwing up alley-oops. At one point, Lane Kiffin goes over there to toss one of the alley-oops to one of his players there on their sideline. They have a basketball goal and everything. So C.J. Stroud looks at that, and he looks at it with great envy. Mm. But they're actually using it when they're literally dunking on teams. And I've never seen a coach participate in something like that. Literally just move off onto the sideline, start playing a different sport for a moment, and then get back because you're just dog walking a squad. That's incredible. So I don't know who to give the celebration of the week award to.
I mean, Green, obviously.
We'll let our biases rank.
That's who should get it, as they should. Although, my gosh, almost blowing a 21-point lead. I was beside myself for a second there. When this thing's in overtime, I'm thinking, this is so Mean Green. Thank God we pulled it out. Got a couple of top 25 votes.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's only a matter of time. When you're playing as well as these guys are, that was a heck of a win.
I think Arch Manning should have gotten some love, too. Liked his celebration in the end zone.
Yeah, we'll have to discuss that a little bit.
He played pretty well.
He did.
Staring down that Bearcat.
Yeah, staring down the Bearcat. But there has been some more video to come out as to maybe why he responded that way versus that particular player. But we do have the trick play of the weekend.
Yeah. We didn't see it in our games a couple times.
Our game.
They were by 17 running trick plays. My man.
I hate Ben Johnson.
He can't help himself.
Gosh, I hate him so much. He
can't help himself.
I liked him better when he was just getting smacked by Detroit last week. But this is actually unlikely suspect. We go to Purdue where they are doing like...
Was that the weather delay game? That thing took like 9 hours to play.
Yes. Well, at one point when they were around, they're on like their 15-yard line going in, and they run an inside zone to the running back. It's like a normal run play, but then the quarterback peels out to the left by the sideline, and the running back, like while basically in the hole at the line of scrimmage, throws it over back to the quarterback, and he runs for a touchdown. This is how it sounded.
First and goal. Maccabee has it and then slings it out to Ryan Brown. And Purdue with some trickery here.
Now, okay, I don't know what that noise is. I don't know if that was like a technical malfunction of sorts or if that was
laughing?
Somebody's voice. Yeah, I don't
DJ took over there.
I think we're laughing.
Is that a human sound? I'm not totally sure.
A little Revenge of the Nerds sound to it.
But that's going to be in playbooks moving forward. We just witnessed history. That is a trick play that we've never seen before. We're just going to hand an innocuous shotgun inside zone play, and then at the line of scrimmage, in the middle of all the chaos there with the lineman, boom, I'm going to throw it back to my quarterback, and he's going to run in for a touchdown. That was freaking fantastic.
I mean, that's the big opportunity, you know, in my thought that the hook and ladder should just, it shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, the ultimate of misdirections and trick plays. It should be the beginning.
And I'm surprised that at this point, more coaches aren't taking advantage of opportunities like this. You saw the flea flicker work. You got this play working inside zone to lateral outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future right here.
And I think the rookie move of the weekend was Aaron Glenn's celebration when he thought that a minute left in the game or 2 minutes left in the game was not going to be enough for Baker Mayfield to go back and steal the victory away from the Jets after they, among what felt like a million teams yesterday, had a blocked field goal returned for a touchdown.
Epic.
Can I ask you a real quick question about Aaron Glenn there? I love Aaron Glenn. Was he wearing the sideline vest to try and get an idea how hot it was for his players? Was he trying to kind of keep a temperature idea or something like that? Why was he... The field temperature was well over 100.
Oh, that's a good point. And he is wearing the puffy...
And he had the sideline vest on. Yeah. And I love the sideline vest, don't get me wrong. But was he pulling a Mike McDaniels... Like,
where trying to be tough.
Where you trying...
I think he likes the look of it.
Well, because he's also wearing the capri McDaniel pants. Yeah. Where he's showing off his calves. So I don't really know what was the thought process there, but he was
McDaniel used to like wear the hoodie to kind of get an idea how hot it was for his players.
Is that the line of thinking?
Yeah.
I think these guys are just going straight for the swagger.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
I think it looks
sideline vest is good. I like it.
No, he looks great.
I like sideline vest.
But that celebration, man,
it was amazing.
You got to know Baker Mayfield is still going to be able to get it done, especially in the creamsicles. Come on now.
All righty. Thank you, Chief. There it is. The best of the weekend. We'll take a look at the top stories and a question. If you could undo the trade, how much different would the Cowboys defense look? Got the C-note coming up at 3:20, and we're back here on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.